Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I have a habit that I started a few years ago. Anytime I go on vacation, I typically will grab a book and I'll take it with me. And while I'm gone, I'll try to get that book read. In February, I returned to Honduras, and I was going with the Carolina Honduras Cell Foundation. Luckily, I had happened to grab a book by Barbara Brown Taylor called The Preaching Life, because what I didn't know was that this particular group I was going with, they did devotionals every night. Not every group does that. So we would have clinic in the morning and the afternoon. At night, we would eat dinner. We would gather. We would talk about the highs of the days, the lows of the days, and we would end with devotions. So the book had a chapter in it, and she had written about surviving Eden. Her focus verse was 3:6, Genesis 3:6. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. We know the rest of the story. God will come along and says, "Where are you?" Something's happened in the relationship. You would think God would know exactly where they are, but something's happened. They will say, "We were hidden, for we are naked." He will look at them. "How did you know you were naked? Did you do what I told you not to do?" Ultimately, the story ends with Adam and Eve being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The reason this particular chapter stuck out to me was because to me it talks about life. Sometimes in life things happen that we make choices about and we end up putting ourselves in that position. But also in life there are times where we have no choice. Things happen, but guess what? We have to deal with it and move on. For instance, I've often said, if you ever want to see poverty, come with me to Honduras sometime. You'll see poverty. I have seen people living in shacks that you and I would not have in our backyards. I've seen families of 3, 4 living in them. Or come with me to United Caring Services. Or Back Bay Mission in Biloxi. Yes, some people did things that got themselves there, but I will tell you that others did not. Things such as cancer that have entered into a person's life and ended up using all the financial resources that they had available. It cost them their health, it cost them their home, it cost them their family. But there is good news. There is life after Eden. Verse 3:15 in Genesis says this: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word that I want to focus on today is the word enmity. It means to be openly opposed or hostile to someone or something. It means to have a hostile object of aversion. But the one thing I want us to realize is enmity is not always between just two people. It can be between a person and a thing. As I said, some things we have control over. Some things we don't. I want you to think a minute about the scene that the author of the scripture paints for us. Eve has just given some fruit to Adam, Adam eats it. God comes along. As I like to say, the blame game is on. In February of 2020, I was up in Indianapolis, and I was attending a seminar that was put on by the Mennonite Peace Center, and it dealt with conflict resolution within the church. And one of the things that I learned about at that conference was a thing called triangulation. Triangulation is when we have two people that are in a relationship, that are in some sort of a conflict. Or, in my opinion, it can be between a person and a thing. They bring somebody else into that conflict in order to help relieve stress or to even support their own viewpoint, to help alleviate possibly some blame or guilt that they may feel. So one day, Adam and Eve are in the garden. The next day, they're out. I can kind of imagine the scene that must have evolved between Adam and Eve. Adam looked at God and said, "Hey, it ain't my fault. She just gave me a piece of fruit. All I did was eat it. I was hungry. How did I know that it was from the tree that we weren't supposed to eat from?" And then you have Eve. Eve may look at God and say, "But God, it was the serpent. I didn't know. I was tricked." Eve may have some blame or some guilt for the fact she simply was tricked. And I've got another possibility. Maybe Adam and Eve talked to the serpent and asked a question. Why was that tree even there in the first place? Why was that tree allowed to be there? Was it necessary? Is this simply a test? Because if God would not have put that tree in the middle of the garden, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Anything like that sound familiar to you whatsoever? Sometimes emotions get out of control. Things are said in anger or in haste. Feelings get hurt. We simply want people to see our point of view. As I said, sometimes we have control, but sometimes we don't. And sometimes it's not just between two people. Sometimes enmity can occur between us and our Creator. In April of 23, I got a call from my daughter. She had been admitted to Deaconess Hospital. And the reason I tell this is not that I seek pity, but I want you to simply understand none of us are immune from this. She called me and she said, "I've got something I need to tell you." And I was like, she said, "I only have 25% of my heart remaining." She had lost 75% of her cardiac function. She had found it out through a series of tests. Yes, maybe there were things that could have been done earlier to possibly have prevented it. But the point of it is, it does not matter. What had been done had been done. And as I said, none of us are immune. Think about this. Two small children, 28 years old. And the sad fact is that I will probably outlive her. You don't think that doesn't cause a little bit of enmity between me and my Creator? Why? There are other things in life. The death of a spouse. The death of a parent. Custody issues. Divorce. Loss of a job. Loss of a home. But as I said, there's good news. There is life after Eden. One of the things that is for sure is that if you are in a situation or have experienced a situation like that, it can cause some stress. Barbara Brown Taylor, in the chapter that I read, talked about what's called the Lost Books of Eden. In Lost Books of Eden, we hear more about the life of Adam and Eve. The Lost Books of Eden were thought to have been written between 200 B.C. to 200 A.D. They are not in our Bible, but they are other references or sources. The fancy term is, I should have looked up the definition this morning, they call it pseudepigrapha. But in chapter 65, there's a story about how Adam and Eve are given digestive organs by God. You see, before they were kicked out of the garden, they really didn't need food to survive. Everything was taken care of. But in chapter 65 of the Lost Books, God gives them digestive organs. They are physically changed. Adam knows then there is no going back to Eden. What was is over and done. But life moves on. I can tell you one thing for sure. If you don't think stress will change you, you're wrong. Early in my pharmacy studies at Purdue, I was in a group that was asked to do a presentation over the long-term effects of stress. Stress can make you gain weight. It can raise cortisol levels, which has been linked to depression. It can also decrease your immune system function. It can mess with your blood glucose. Sometimes you mess with your blood glucose enough, you can change the vascular system of the body a little bit. It thickens it. Heart disease. Cancer. Loss of a job. These are things that cause stresses throughout our lives. These are things that change us. There is no going back to Eden, to life as it once was. Think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. It was paradise. It was perfection. They had everything they wanted. Adam and Eve enter into a case of guilt, of despair. In one of the other chapters, it said they went into a cave and didn't want to come out until God finally made them come out. They did not want to drink. God made them drink. The serpent will try to burn them up. God will not allow it. There's even a part in there where Adam is so despondent, he wants to do himself in. God will not allow it. There's life after Eden. They will survive. And here is truly the good news. The God that created them is the God that sustains them after Eden. Here's the good news for you and I. The God that created us is also the God that will sustain you and I in our times of trouble, even in times of bad decision making. God is there, and He will not let us go. One of the reasons I find this particularly important today is next Sunday is Mental Health Sunday in the church. It's on Father's Day. And I want us to take a minute and think about God sustaining us. You see, you have people out there such as physicians and nurses and therapists. These are people that God has put in our path. People that can help us through these difficult times. And we also have our family, our friends. And the one thing I think we take for granted more than anything is that we have each other in the church. There are many people in here that I know love and care about each other. And in times of trouble, that can be one of the most satisfying or the most stress-relieving things in the world. Many years ago, I learned you don't have to have words. All you have to do sometimes is simply be there. It's what I call the ministry of presence. Simply hold a hand. Let somebody know that you care and that you love them. The God that created us is the God that will sustain us. There's one more thing that I'd like to talk about before I finish. And that is, as I said, I like to read, especially on vacation. Carol and I were on the way back from Orlando on Friday. And so the book I was reading was called The Theology of Star Wars. The author had a very interesting comment. He said, is the story about Adam and Eve the story about the fall, or is it the story of redemption? If you're familiar with the movie Star Wars, you probably have heard of the prequels, where Anakin Skywalker, who will ultimately become Darth Vader, is introduced. Anakin's not a bad guy. He just kind of gets sidetracked. Make some choices that maybe weren't the best in the world. But from the movie New Hope, and finally to Return of the Jedi, Anakin is redeemed. So is the story of Eden the story of the fall, or is it the story of redemption? Personally, I choose the latter. As I said, the God that created us sustains us. In times of trouble, after Eden is no more, life does go on. Let us give thanks for those in our lives, doctors, nurses, people that help us in times of trouble, who are there to love us, to care for us, to nurture us, to show us that love. Always remember, God surrounds us. He never gives up on us. All of that I can say to that, my friends, is simply this. Thanks be to God, and amen.